It was a cold December weekend in Chicago, and I was excited. One of my best friends was getting married, and to top it off, he had asked me to officiate the wedding. I was honored by the invitation, though a bit intimidated. What if I botched it and ended up being the guy the editor tried to remove from all the film footage? I was a brand new pastor and had been in a vocational ministry for less than a year, and this was my first wedding. My friend, the groom, was of South Asian, Indian descent, and he was very proud of his cultural heritage. He had promised that the reception in particular would take guests on a deep dive into Indian culture, and that we should prepare ourselves for a culturally unique experience. The reception lived up to the hype, and I had a night to remember. My personal highlight was the Dandiya dance, a group of people moving in two circles counterclockwise, holding two colorful sticks. I'm typically hesitant to get out on the dance floor, but the beauty of the Dandiya was compelling. When the dance ended, I was still feeling festive from the amazing experience, so I found my friend and shared with him how much I had enjoyed every bit of that wonderful night. Then I innocently added a comment, "I'm jealous of you. You have such an amazing culture. It must be such a privilege to be able to reflect that beautiful culture during your wedding weekend. I wish I had a culture too." I had no idea how much was packed into that little statement, but it sure wasn't lost on him. He suddenly got serious, placed his hand on my shoulder, and looked me straight in the eye. "Daniel, you may be white, but don't let that lull you into thinking you have no culture. White culture is very real. In fact, when white culture comes in contact with other cultures, it almost always wins. So it would be a really good idea for you to learn about your culture." I found myself revisiting this conversation often. My friend was known for avoiding serious topics, so I had been surprised by the spontaneous intensity he had displayed. Most unsettling about it was his commentary on my white culture. First of all, I felt he was lumping me in with every other white person he'd ever known. I thought, he can't seriously think there's just one white culture, can he? In an attempt to piece together the confusing message he'd sent my way, I reflected on the Irish heritage on my father's side and the pride many of my relatives took in it. Then I thought about the German and French heritage on my mom's side. I knew less about those cultures, but still, they were three very different backgrounds. Was he suggesting that those three distinct cultures could be mashed into a single category? White? That seemed like a major stretch. Then there was the even more unsettling suggestion that my culture wins whenever it comes in contact with another. Not only was he lumping all white cultures into a single group, he was also proposing that this single conglomeration consistently dominates other cultures. How would this not come off as insulting to a white person? What seemed utterly obvious to him was utterly confusing to me. But I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I searched for where I could find agreement with him. I could readily acknowledge that some white individuals exhibit dominant or even racist behaviors. Certainly, that was common ground. But even then, I found myself thinking, just because certain white individuals demonstrate prejudice or racism by their behaviors, doesn't implicate an entire race. I guessed that he would respond poorly to the suggestion that certain individuals of Indian heritage represent their entire race. Yet he seemed comfortable with the idea of poorly behaved white individuals representing all white people. This monologue continued to live inside my head longer than expected, and I anxiously awaited.